Welcome to Counting Towards Sinai Tefillah Series with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Dr. Danielle Bloom, and today we are studying the prayer of Ashrei. Do you realize that Ashrei is not one chapter of Tehillim, but is actually made up of four different chapters? Most of Ashrei is Psalm 145, Tehillah LeDavid, but it has two psukim added in the beginning and one pasuk added at the end. Each of these three psukim come from a different chapter. Ashrei combines four different psalms in a single prayer. Why are we doing this? Ashrei is the first word of Tehillim, and Hallelujah is the last word of Tehillim. So we want to encompass the entire book in one prayer. Our prayer symbolically joins the entire book of Psalms. It's like we're saying all of the psalms in this one prayer. Another reason to add verses as a prologue and epilogue to Psalm 145 is because Psalm 145 is universalistic in nature. It includes all nations. It says the word kol 17 times. That repetition is a literary technique used by the author of this psalm to emphasize the idea that everyone in the world has the ability to recognize God. Psalm 145 is not just about the Jewish people. It's applicable to all people. We add the two verses before and one verse after in order to add the particularistic message of God's unique relationship with the Jewish people. The Talmud Brachot makes an astounding statement that whoever says Ashrei three times a day merits to receive Olam Haba. Muvtach lo shehu ben Olam Haba. How can this be? Why is it so? The Gemara gives two reasons. One option is because it includes the entire alphabet. The other answer suggested is that it contains the verse Poteach et yadecha u'maspia l'chol chai ratzon. God, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of all living beings. The Gemara concludes that it is the combination of both reasons that makes the chapter so significant. What does this represent? The Aleph Bet organization of the prayer represents the idea that God is everywhere and all-powerful, what we refer to as his transcendence. Focusing on that aspect makes God appear infinite, awesome, and incomprehensible, and also distant. Poteach et yadecha, on the other hand, represents God's immanence, his personal connection with the world. In this perspective, God relates to me personally, and I have a relationship with him. Poteach et yadecha is most important because it emphasizes a constant, ongoing relationship with God, which is manifested on a daily basis. It is the combination of the two aspects of God's relationship with the world that makes our chapter so powerful. I would like to conclude with a story excerpted from the commentary on the Siddur by Rabbi Dr. Jay Goldmans. When I was in elementary school, my teacher, Mr. Deutsch, told us that if we just said the phrase from Ashrei of Poteach et yadecha u'maspia l'chol chai ratzon, then we would grow up to be very rich. As a young child, I understood it almost as a magic formula. Acknowledge God's ability to make you rich. Tell him so as if you really mean it, and you'll get rich. No doubt, this interpretation is one of the things that kept me saying that phrase with any amount of kavana any time I prayed, even as I mumbled the rest of the words of the prayer. As I grew older, I realized two things. The first was that prayer didn't really work that way. It's not a magic incantation that you recite and then poof, you get what you want, even if you pray really, really hard. And so I thought that Mr. Deutsch had really just led me on. But secondly, I came to learn that this prayer appears not in a section related to requests, bakashot, but that it was in the section of the Siddur that is related to Shevach, giving praise to Hashem. In other words, I wasn't necessarily supposed to be asking for anything at all at this point in the service, but rather was supposed to be praising God for giving all people the food that they need. And so, I thought of the cornfields and wheat fields that make this country so rich and so prosperous, and I praised God for that. As I grew older and became more sensitive to the people around me, I realized that there were a lot of people who were starving in the world, and it made me wonder whether, in fact, God really was satisfying all of the needs of every living thing. I continued to say the verse, but I had my nagging doubts. It was only later that I came to believe that perhaps God provides all of the resources necessary for all of the world's needs, but it is man's fault that those resources are not shared fairly. And so, whenever I recited the verse, I asked myself what I was doing to ensure that people in need were being helped. After all, if I want God to provide for my needs, shouldn't I be doing my share to provide for others? Perhaps my role was to be an agent for God's generosity to those around me. And every time I praised God, I also challenged myself to be a better person. And then, while I became more sensitive to the needs of others, I became more aware of how much I already had in my own life, how many of my needs were already satisfied, how much I take for granted, and how I am so fortunate, and in many ways, so very, very rich. And then I realized that maybe Mr. Deutsch was right after all. Thank you for learning together. This series has been dedicated to Le'iloi Nishmat, Sarah Ann Lehman, Sarah Bat Yitzchak Meshulam Fish, and Chaya Chana Edel by Yitzchak and Barbara Lehman Siegel and their families.